الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So here, alhamdulillah, in Florida, we're very blessed because there's not much of a difference in the weather, you know, as the seasons change. But in many other places in the country, particularly coming from the Midwest, it makes a very big difference. It makes a very big difference. So, for example, for those people who are listening from Chicago, they're coming out from the deep thaw, or I hope they're coming out from the deep thaw, or the deep freeze. They're thawing out now, and now spring is setting in, and it dramatically changes a person's life. Right? Then they can actually walk out. You don't have to spend 15 minutes getting every single kid ready before you actually just even get in the car. You don't have to warm up the car for, you know, 5 minutes. You don't have to shovel your car out, and you feel in such a great mood. And when this happens, you know, people are, they feel like they're coming out of the cave. And generally when people have, you know, many of the college students just got off of spring break, and, you know, summer break is not very far away, so people immediately start thinking about, you know, how am I going to spend my time, what am I going to do, and what are fun things to do. What are fun things to do? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He creates, so we're going to talk about fun today. It's a fun topic. So, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a very balanced deen. The deen of Islam, while it has its nobility, while it has its majesty, while it has its austerity, at the same time, it is balanced. And when we say the deen is balanced, people like to use this term to justify their own nafs and to try to justify that, oh, you know, deen is balanced, so if I'm becoming too hardcore, you know, too Islamic, then that's not balanced. Right? Nothing could be further from the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to become Islamic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to become hardcore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to become as deeny as possible. That's not what it means to be balanced or not. The way we define balance is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us to do something, we do it. And when He tells us not to do something, we don't do it. That is the definition of balance. So for example, you know, a person says that, oh, you know, I can't, you know, follow X, Y, and Z sunnah because that's going to be like, I'm going to become very different from everyone else and I'm becoming extreme. That's not becoming extreme, that's just following the sunnah. That's just following the sunnah. Extremism, for example, in Islam, is if, for example, a person gets so, you know, hyper about, obsessive compulsive about their tahajjud salah, right? And so the next day they're not getting up for work, and then they're going to lose their job, and they're not able to fulfill the huquq of their family, and then they're disgruntled the whole day, and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, but then they're taking the haq of this person, the haq of that person. Now, so to do something nafil, they're sacrificing something fard, they're sacrificing something wajib, they're sacrificing the rights of another Muslim. This is extremism, right? This is imbalance. This is imbalance. When the Sahaba, رضوان الله تعالى أجمعين, when some of them said that, you know, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قُفِرَ لَهُمْ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, you know, whatever passed and is going to come is forgiven for him. Of course, he doesn't have to do it as much ibadah. We need to do more, right? Because we're sinful. So one person said, oh, I'm not going to get married. Another person said, you know, I'm just going to fast continuously. Another person said X, Y, and Z. And Rasulullah says, he got very, you know, he was very disturbed. Let's just put it that way, right? To put it lightly, he was very disturbed when he heard about this, because this was changing the shakl and it was changing the balance of the deen. The way that Rasulullah says and lived his life, that was the balance. That wasn't something peculiar for him. لَقَدْ كَانَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find a good model. So that there are some things which are the khususiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those are set out in the kutub. That's a separate discussion. But by and large, when you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the balanced life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to exude. That is the life that He wants us to lead. So a person shouldn't fall into this delusion, right? That, you know, if I give up X, Y, and Z, this is extremism. That's just being Muslim. And too often, right, I mean, it's very unusual that someone sort of falls on that excessive side of Islam. It's true, there are some people, because the nafs likes extremism. And so most people will fall on the part of doing too less, but there are some people, right? I mean, you look at the Khawarij. When you look at the description of the Khawarij, they actually used to say that these were people who had deviated from the deen. But at the same time, when you look at the description, these were like, they used to fast so much and they used to pray so much that their eyes were literally sunken. Right? That's how they were described. So they were extreme in their ibadah. But again, that was extreme on that end. We don't see that that often. So it's really sort of a mute point for the American Muslim. I mean, when do you really see that? But it does exist. It's just so that you know that that phenomenon does exist. Most often we are falling on the other side. Because we really, and I've talked about this in weeks past, that we live in a very entertainment-oriented culture. We live in an entertainment-centric culture, almost you could say. That everything is about, life is about having fun. And how do you have fun, and how do you maximize the fun in your life? In fact, the reason that you work so hard is not because you like your work, it's so that you can have fun afterwards. You can have fun in your car, you can have fun in your house, a big house, you can have fun X, Y, and Z. Everything is driven with the sole purpose of fun. Right? How can I have pleasure? How can I have fun? In fact, a very nation which is predicated on the pursuit of happiness, right? Pursuit of pleasure, it says something, right? When your nation is founded on that. Our nation, the nation of Islam, the house of Islam, is founded on the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased? Right? Not my pleasure, it's the pleasure of Allah. And that's a fundamental paradigmatic shift between the context in which we live and the context in which we should live. That how do I make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy? That is just our goal. That's the reason that we exist. So, if a person understands this, then the first thing that they need to realize, or first principle, is that life is not just about having fun. In fact, this is the paradox. You see those people who give their entire life about trying to have fun, they're the people who are the most bored. Right? They're the people who the weekend rolls along and they're like, I don't know what to do. You have money, you have wealth, you have time, you just don't know what to do. You've done everything, you've tried everything in Tampa, right? You've tried everything in Chicago, you've went every museum, you know, every nook and corner of, you know, Grant Park, and this, you're like, what's left? What's left? Because the dunya only has so much to offer. And so a person who, that was his purpose, and that's what they were chasing, eventually you just get bored. You just get bored. You know, there's actually these people who they call life coaches. Right? There's people who actually get paid heavy money. They teach you how to live. And you know, al-hikmah tudallatul mu'min, sometimes hikmah is the lost treasure of a mu'min. Wherever you find it, you should pick it up. But many times they'll say things which are so like, you know, it's like a page out of, you know, a book of tazkiyah, or it's a page out of the book of, you know, Islam. You're like, subhanAllah, this is what the deen has been teaching us all along. So I was reading about one of these life coaches, and he talks about, you know, I was ready, like, you know, when I read stuff like this, I'm like ready to like sort of tear it apart, because he says, you know, life should all be about fun. I was like, yeah, ajib, you know, like, well, you guys don't have sense. But then he starts talking about what it means to have fun. And I didn't read the whole article, but I just read, you know, two or three points, and that was enough to understand that this person actually figured something out. He said that he makes a differentiation between faux fun, right, or false fun, and real fun. Meaning that he said that, you know, a group of my friends, they all used to have faux fun, right? Their idea of fun was to get, they were potheads, and they would get together and they would smoke up marijuana and Mary Jane and this and that, and that was their idea of fun. And us, we would sit in the library and we would study for like blocks of an hour and take like a half an hour break and like maybe crack some jokes, and then we'd study for another hour or whatever that was. And to me, that was a lot more meaningful and more fun than, I mean, you ask any normal American, does that satisfy your definition of fun? See, you're crazy. Sitting in the library studying is not a fun thing to do. But he said that this was fun. And so he literally trains people to enjoy. And I think, I mean, I don't know what his main point is, but I think there is something there that if a person understands that, and he said that all of these things, when you have fafan, it makes, instead of making everyone happy, it makes everyone, you know, it ruins their life, you know, everyone around you. And it causes harm to others, so on and so forth. Basically, you know, getting too much in the dunya is bad for you. That's the message, right? Getting too much in the dunya is bad for you. And this, and he's getting paid to tell, you know, something that Rasulullah says, something like literally telling people for free. But the other part of that is that, you know, while, what was I going to say? How do you have, one of the important, that's what I wanted to mention. One of the important things to realize is that if all of that is empty, then how can you make your life fun? Part of it, and this is one real big take-home point I think I want everyone to take home, is that you need to enjoy what you do normally. You need to learn to enjoy normalcy. If you're always looking for a high, every time you reach a high, there's always going to be a down after it. Because by definition, the reason it's a high is because it's a break from the normal. And one of the ways that you can make yourself most happy and have the most fun is to enjoy and have fun doing the things you do every day. Because if you're going to wait for that magical day to come where you're going to have a lot of wealth and you're going to have a lot of time and you're going to have, you know, everything's going to fall, all the stars are going to, quote unquote, line up, that day doesn't come. Right? You'll be in the grave before that day comes. You need to enjoy, and you know, maybe there's some rare moments, but that's not going to, your life is not about that. There's like moments that are like that. And the vast majority of your life is just normal. And so one of the ways you have fun is to have fun doing the things you do every day. When you go to work every day, stop feeling bad about it and start feeling like, oh my God, I hate my job. Oh my God, I hate I have to go to work. Just go to work and have fun doing it. If you have children, right, don't look for, you're like, I'm so stressed with my kids, I just need a break. You know, if you're always running away from your kids for a break, then you're missing out on all the fun that you could be having with them every single day, right? And ask someone who doesn't have their kids every single day, and they will tell you how much they would pay, right, for 1 hour with their children. Right? Like when I'm looking for tickets going over, literally I'm like looking for tickets on the basis of hours. Like I can get a few extra hours with my children. Because then you have value when you don't have it. When you're with your spouse, right? You don't have to look for some, you know, magical friend to show up. Enjoy with your spouse and make that a fun thing, not a chore that, oh, it's just, you know, my family. All of these things which exist around us, all of this can be fun. It just has to do with our attitude and how we look at these things. So that was one principle. The second principle is to understand that our real fun is not actually going to be here. Our real fun is coming in the akhirah. And if you really want to have a blast, I can tell you, no matter how much money you're willing to spend, it's empty pleasures. The real fun, real, full fun, actually comes in the akhirah. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such types of houses, such beaches, such people to serve us, such food, things that we've never thought of, things that we've never seen, things that we've never heard. That is where we're going to live it up. So الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. If you want to see the Jannah of the non-Muslim, then look in the dunya. But if you want to see your Jannah, our Jannah is over there. And when a person realizes this, then it makes us have a very realistic attitude about fun and having fun. But then that raises actually a very interesting question. Does fun have any place in Islam? Right? Is the deen only about dhikr and ibadah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that you only exist to worship me. So is there any place in the deen for fun, for entertainment? So I said in the beginning that yes, the deen is a balanced deen. And if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you look at the life of Sahaba, it wasn't a life that was given to this pursuit of just having fun. It wasn't a frivolous life. It was a meaningful life. It was a life of determination. It was a life of sacrifice. But if you look at their life, you will also see that they also had fun. They also entertained themselves. It wasn't just boring. And they and the deen understood that there was a need for fun. But it was like, you know, it's like, you know, you put a little bit of salt in the dough. You need that so the dough turns out right, it's not like you have only salt and just a little bit of dough. They had a substantial life, right, a meaningful life, and then, you know, they engaged in some things which were fun. So if you look in this whole seerah of Rasulullah, it was a life devoted to ibadah. It was a life devoted to the service of others. It was a life devoted to sacrifice. It was a life devoted to changing people and helping people. That's his life. But yes, you will find certain things, right, that will give you an idea that how Rasulullah also did relax, right? So for example, one of the very common ways that Rasulullah, you could say, would relax with his family, right? Aisha radiallahu anha, when he was with them, it was like he was really with them. But when the adhan came on, it's like he wasn't there anymore. So what does that tell you? That when he was with them, they felt like they were family, right? They talked, they had some time. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-samar, that he did not stay up after the Isha Salah and just sit there shooting the breeze, talking this, that, and the other. After Salah, after Isha Salah, this was not the time to just have this, that, and other talk. But after the Hajjat Salah, right, if I'm not mistaken, after the Hajjat Salah till the Fajr time, in that time sometimes he would discuss with his wife, not just what's going on, just talk, normal talk. And this is a very simple way, but very nice way to have fun and to make your heart light. Right, to have this very common, very simple interaction of just speaking with another human being, particularly with one's family. But without going into that, I wanted to first highlight several principles, several examples of how the deen condones having fun. So this person doesn't get into the idea that I'm just making this up, and a person understands that this is something which is established within the deen. For example, start with, even before Rasulullah, start with Ya'qub alayhi salam. When the brothers came to Yaqub alayhi salam, right, they said to their father, Asr arsilhu ma'ana ghaday, right, send him with us in the morning, yarta' wa yal'ab. We want to chill out and we want to play. So parents should understand that children need to, Yaqub alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. You can't say that this is, you know, shara'i min qabl, this is the sharia from something that came before. He was a prophet. If something was fahish, if something which was unacceptable, if something was going to take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have told them, no, you should not do this, right? قَالَ إِنِّي لَا يَحْزُنِي, right? He gave another reason why he didn't want to send Yusuf alayhi salam, right? He was afraid for other reasons. But he didn't say that you were off the mark for just wanting to go and chill and just have, you know, play. This is what children, this is what they do, they play. And when they came back, right, when they say نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَقْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْ, that we went and we are racing, right? Sometimes kids nowadays they do racing on the streets, right? Street racing, which is not actually a very safe hobby. That's not the same thing as racing physically. So people who are listening should not draw that analogy that it's okay for me to driving, 60 miles per hour in a 30-mile zone, right? It's actually very dangerous. And this is coming from someone who had that need for speed, right? I've gone through that phase. First time I had the car in my hand by myself and my parents were in the car, I was going 100 miles per hour, right? First time I got the car, it's just, whew, you're just gone. And it was reckless behavior, right? It was literally reckless, and only later when I had children and so on and so forth, I actually, and we used to just get a kick out of it, cutting in between traffic and weaving like speed demons on Lakeshore Drive and this and that and the other. It was just fun. This is not racing, right? This is not the condoned racing in the Sharia. This is physically, when you're driving that fast, you're taking a vehicle that literally can kill yourself and can kill someone else, right? That's not a joke. You're not going to do that when you're running with your friends, okay? You're not going to impose harm on yourself, you're now imposing harm on another. So نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَقْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَائِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. We left Yusuf by our stuff, but we were racing, and he didn't say that, no, you can't do it. Right? So that's number one. Number two, we have two Eid celebrations. If the deen was against having fun, then why can you celebrate? In fact, you're supposed to celebrate. You're supposed to eat nice food, right? These are the days of eating and drinking, and in one narration, bi'al, of conjugal relations, right? I don't know if that's a narration, but at least these two, these are the days of akl and shurb. These are the days of, eating and drinking, which is actually one of the permissible ways to have fun, right? So sometimes, right, if you want to have fun, you know, you can make a nice meal, an extra nice meal, or you can go out and eat. Right? This is a common way, it's a simple way that to have fun with your family, is you just go out and eat, right, on occasion, and you don't want to make a habit about it, and sometimes you can bring food from outside and eat at home, actually that's better, right, but even if sometimes you want to go out and you want to eat outside, that there is space for that if it's done in the bounds of, you know, parda and the like, right, and there's proper hijab. So that's another example. Another example is when, I'll come to this later, but one time Umar radiallahu anhu was going to stop something which he felt was too frivolous. And Rasulullah sallallahu, he stopped him, and in the riwayah of Imam Suyuti, and it's narrated, it's been classified as Hasan, he said that all of anything that is not connected to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is frivolity in play. It's lab, la'ib. It's just play and frivolity, it's just vain. And lahu is not something that you condone within the deen, it's not looked upon well in the deen, let's just put it that way. And generally, things which are lahu, which are useless and frivolous, carry a ruling of either being haram, when it contravenes something in the sharia, or makruh tahrimi, or makruh. And yes, there's always extra work, and there's stuff to do around the house, and there's all of that, but you need some time to sit down and just play Scrabble. Right? You need some time just to go to a park and push your kids on the swings. Right? You need some time to just sit there and let them like throw the ball around and you just watch them. You don't have to play with them, you just gotta watch them. You need some time to do that, and that doesn't fall into category of la. Rasulullah also said, for example, practicing archery. And there's many different reasons why that is. So and it's known that great scholars of the deen, for example, Imam Shafi was an expert archer. He was an expert archer, teaching and learning how to swim. It's not all, and for those of us who live in Florida, mashallah, right, we have this in our backyards. You don't have to go far to fulfill this, you know, this category of things. Just go in your backyard. So this is another thing that was mentioned by Rasulullah ﷺ. And to train your horses, according to that narration, is to train your horses. I think in the riwayah of Bukhari it's a little bit different, but in the riwayah of Imam Suyuti is to train your horse. This also doesn't fall. And if you look into each one of these categories, these all have some type of purpose. And I'll tell you what the principle that you can derive from that. But again, these are some things that the Sharia had condoned. Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, one time he asked, he says, do you have anything for lahu? Do you have anything for like having a good time? Because the Ansar like to have a good time. Where we're saying that this narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that you know that you need to sometimes let your hair down. So from all of this and the other hadith, right, very very famous hadith that's used, sa'atan fa sa'atan, right? The heart, you need to relax the heart hour to hour. That sometimes, you know, yes, you have to be, you know, in the deen and all this, but sometimes, right, there's a time to be like that. There's also a time just to be human, right, so to speak. Sa'atan fa sa'atan. You need to give some time for the heart to relax, because if you don't, right, if you don't, and this is what's dangerous, is sometimes people just completely crash. And you see this, that people like get all hyped up about zikr and hyped up about deen, and they're like, I'm going to do this and this and this. Saddidu wa qaribu. Saddidu wa qaribu. Don't become gung-ho and try to take it all at one time, because it will crush you. Right? You just have to be tempered. You have to have, you know, your Islam has to be, you know, in this age of being green, your Islam has to be sustainable. Right, so to speak. Your Islam should be sustainable, meaning that be realistic with yourself. Yes, there are these ideals of our akabir, and we should always be shooting for this, but create an Islam for yourself that's sustainable, so that you're not going to be like, you know, do all of this and crash and burn, because you're doing no one a favor. Slowly move towards a goal, slowly cut out things in your life that shouldn't be there, and move towards that goal. I mean, things are haram, yes, you need to cut those out immediately. That's a different issue. But the other things, the higher goals, you know, work with yourself, be realistic with yourself. So then, I wanted to talk about how to have fun, right? And then I'm going to give some principles, and then I'm going to give, and Mufti Shafi, rahimahullah, actually has written a very beautiful discourse about, is an algorithmic approach to determine what you can do and what you cannot do, and when to have fun and when you cannot have fun. It's actually, I mean,
I'll just mention it because so that it will be on record so people can sometimes use it. But basically, it starts with whether or not the thing that you're doing has some type of benefit. Is it beneficial or is it just useless? If that's where, that's the first point of distinction. If it's of no benefit, then generally the deen will give it the qarar or give it the designation of haram or makruh tahrimi. If it has some type of benefit, then you have to look that in the deen, has this thing been prohibited or not prohibited? For example, the hadith where a person who plays backgammon, it is as if they have dipped their hands in swine and blood. أو كما قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Categorically prohibited, generally speaking, amongst the scholars. So for that, even though it has some benefit, you can't engage with it. So let me just tell you, there's a lot of things that people do for fun that will fall in that category. That yes, it might have some type of benefit in it, but there is a lot of haram in it. And you have to, you just, that sometimes it's categorically prohibited. So, you know, a person will say, oh, a new movie came out, right? And this one, oh, it doesn't have any bad scenes. But, you know, and it will expand my, you know, understanding of American culture so I can give da'wah. I mean, shaitan makes all types of weird, you know, ta'wilat in a person's mind. First of all, if you're looking at a non-mahram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, tell the believing men to lower their gaze. You purposely are turning on something on the TV and bringing the face of a non-mahram in front of your own eyes. There's no, I mean, there, what is the excuse for that? There's no excuse for that. There are certain things where you can come up with some type of benefit, right? I'm going to watch, you know, Animal Planet or something, and you'll learn about animal. But then there's some, like, woman walking around in, like, you know, very short safari clothes. And she's giving you a tour of a lot more than just a safari, right? That's going to kill your nafs. It's going to kill your deen. And really, whatever benefit you're going to get about learning about marsupials is outweighed by far by the haram that you've looked at. So those things are prohibited. You can't go down that path. But say that there's nothing prohibited. Then there's, again, two categories. Sometimes the benefit, the harm outweighs the benefit. In those things also, the deen will prohibit it or make it makruh. And then in certain situations, then if it has, what's that called? Where were we on the thing that, oh, there is benefit, right? But the benefit is, and the benefit outweighs the harm, or there is benefit and the harm doesn't outweigh the benefit, then in that situation you should make niyyah. Of whatever, but no, in the beginning of the algorithm, we said it starts with some type of purpose, some type of benefit, you should make the niyyah of that, then that thing at the very least it will be permissible, and if it's not permissible, then it can even be mustahab. So you're having fun, but you're having, so I know one righteous young boy, he would never chill out, he would never have friends, he would never do X, Y, and Z. But sometimes he even cracked, right? So he would say that when he would relax and he would make the niyyah that, Ya Allah, I'm taking some break so that I can get more strength now to do your ibadah when I go back. And I can pray with more fervor to you. So even his resting was an ibadah. Even the sleep of such people is ibadah, right? So what are the principles? So that's a very complicated algorithm. I just want to give you three principles of how to determine what to do when you have fun. Number one, sin should not be involved. Right? Sin should not be involved. That's number one. Number two, that when you're having fun, it should be fun, but there should be some purpose behind it too. Right? It should be purpose-driven fun. Right? There should be some benefit. That benefit can be in your dunya. That benefit can be in your akhirah. It doesn't have to be Islamic, but there should be some benefit behind it. It should not be a useless, frivolous activity. And the third thing is that when you engage in this activity, you should make some type of niyyah before you do it, so that you can also get thawab for that. So here's the recommendations, right, of what to do for fun. What are the recommendations? One of the very good things that a person can do for fun, right, especially for brothers, they like this, is to engage in sports. What is the benefit for this? The benefit of this is for your body. So you say that, Ya Allah, this body is an amana that you have given me that I should also take care of. And I've seen one of the righteous elders, Allahu Akbar, how careful he was about his body, because he really, like, to the extent that you say that he's being, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's not politically correct to say that, no, but you're saying, oh, you're being so girly, right? Because you're like, you want this, like, your nail should be like this. And but he really looked like at his body as an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything small even happened to his body, he would go and treat it, because Rasulullah said, ishfaw, right? Another person says, be a man, right? Be a man, just like bear it. But he understood that this is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that amanah, because people completely, like, let their body fall to waste, they get, I mean, like, heart disease, they get atherosclerosis, they get diabetes. I mean, Muslims are champs at this, because they think, okay, you know, it's my body, I can just eat whatever I want, you can do whatever you want. I mean, our akabir, they used to go for walks, right? They used to, and for example, Mawlana Zakaria, I believe, or Mawlana Shafli Thanwi, they would do certain exercises, in fact, right? I mean, these are like the stalwarts of the Sufis. You'll find out how much ego you have. You'll find out how much love of glory you have. If you always want to make the basket rather than getting the assist, right? If you want to be the one who has a high ERA as opposed to runs batted in. You know, it's like all about, if it's about you, you'll see how much ego you have, right? So it builds a lot of discipline, right? It builds a lot of discipline. So sports. Second thing is to go for a walk, right? Particularly after Asr, before the Maghrib Salah. It's a very nice time, right? A mu'tadil time to go for a walk. I remember one of my teachers who taught me Tafsir ibn Kathir, he was like regularly, if I call him, like it was his ma'mool that this is the time he would go for a walk. And even in madrasa, you see the asatiza, right? This is the time that they go for a walk. And you'll find, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on time, you know, you would find him. Well, the other thing, and the third thing that you can do for fun is to take recourse to nature. And you'll find examples where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, for example, be in an orchard. What is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing in an orchard? Right? So at times, right, at times, even after Ta'if, right, and the time when he was pelted, where did he take recourse? He was found in an orchard, right? And then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they brought grapes for him, so on and so forth. That's another story. But so recourse to nature in all its forms, right, this is a very halal way to have fun. Traveling is... It's true that as-safar qit'atun min al-azab. It comes in riwayah that it is a point of azab, but it is also very, if you do it for the right niyyah and in the right way, it's a very powerful and growing experience. And so our sheikh would tell us that when you go to travel, for example, when we were in Barbados, he told us that our Murshid al-Alam, he used to tell us that when you go to these type of places and you go sightseeing, so we had actually gone in a submarine on the reef and gone down, and he said that first he actually stopped us. Right? And he said, you need to make niyyah. And the niyyah that you make is the ayah of the Qur'an, سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا. They go in the earth and look. And when you see this, you see the ajaib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the other things, is that you can travel. The other thing that you can do is you can read. Right? And when I say read, you should read things which increase yourself in knowledge. I'll tell you, reading these trash novels, which are New York bestsellers, are even more deleterious than watching TV. They're such trash in these romance novels and these novels that literally, and they're written so powerfully that they will wreak havoc on your iman, wreak havoc on your Islam, wreak havoc on your tasawwuf. You have to avoid all those books. And I'll tell you, one of the things that you have to be very careful is when you're looking for a book, people say, okay, I need to spend some time, I want to go to Barnes & Nobles. Barnes & Nobles, there's so much haram pictures on the pictures of half those books. In finding that one halal book that you're looking for, you'll just get destroyed. Right? You just get destroyed. In fact, you'll be attracted into looking at one of those books. You'll go with the intention of looking for something about science fiction or something about, you know, geography, and you'll find yourself in the romance aisle or, you know, this aisle or that aisle, and there's all these, you know, crazy, crazy things. I mean, they say in this country sex sells, and it's literally, if you go to Barnes & Nobles, that's what it is, right? I mean, half the books are like this. All these teenage novels, all these fiction novels, they're all about this because that's what their life is about, and it's reflected in their literature because literature is a commentary on society. So you have to be careful to avoid those type of venues. We don't sit there. I mean, if you have some good kitab, you sit at home, you learn about dolphins, you learn about world history, you read about geography, you learn about European history. There's ways to you know, expand your horizons, these are good things to read. Or you can read poetry, right? You can read poetry. What is the thing? The other thing you can do, and sometimes sisters can enjoy this, but anyone, children enjoy this, even guys enjoy this, is arts and crafts. Right? In our house, we used to have like a whole drawer. I still have it. They're not here, but paintbrushes and all different type of, you know, carbon papers and different things. And you take on calligraphy. Like my wife got into calligraphy, so she made all these different types of calligraphy, canvases, this, that, and the other. But you can't paint pictures of human beings and animate objects. But calligraphy, if you have to, scenery, but, you know, abstract art, these type of things, crafts, again, avoiding animate objects, this is a very good pastime. This is a very fun activity that you can do with your family. If you see, you can also go and see something novel, something ajeeb, something entertaining, on occasion. Now, in the whole life of Rasulullah, one riwayah came to mind. And that was the riwayah when Rasulullah was at the door of Aisha radiallahu anha's house. And the Ethiopians were playing in the masjid. And they were actually throwing spears, right? And so Rasulullah with barda again, right? With keeping the hijab of the sister, he actually raised his rida so she could look over the rida, right? And he let her look at the men when they were playing this type of... It was just basically entertainment, right? It was like a show. You could say it's a show. Right, you know, like those daredevil shows or something like that. And from what you understand from this is that the looking of a woman is lighter than the looking of a man. Right, this is also the fuqaha have taken out this ruling from this. But in this day in society, I don't say this, right? Because I understand, I know how sisters are, even in this society, in the context that we live in. This was Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Yes, Rasulullah was easier on her, but who has that type of taqwa? In this society, women need to lower their gaze the way the men lower their gaze, right? In general. But in certain occasions, for example, if you're looking at like a dolphin show or you're looking at, I don't know if you can look at a dolphin show because, you know, there's those you know, women who are in those type of situations. But, you know, there's certain things that you can look at. You know, you go to the zoo, you go to look at something ajeeb or there's some type of show, something novel that you look at. There's precedent for that person, right? There's help the elderly, help those people who are orphans. Help, you know, clean up the parks, plant a tree, clean up the highway. There's so many things that you can do. It's very fun. It's very fun. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it with non-Muslims. Fabiha, right? So be it. If they're doing it and you part, you know, something that you're going to go and build houses for people in Africa that don't have houses as a part of some corp, so be it.
Eating
people. Now, I'm listing a lot of things. That doesn't mean you have to do all of them in 1 week or 1 month, because then you're only going to be having fun. But this is just to give, you know, this is the idea of setting out the principles. Meeting people. I would actually probably should give an entire lecture on this. But in the age of Facebook and texting, where people have lost a human connection, this is actually very important. And really, I'll tell you, people are like, I didn't have a cell phone until my second year, I think, of residency or something, or third year of residency. And after that, I didn't even have texting. And I used to ask people, why do you text? Like, why can't you just talk? They say, oh, it's very efficient. And now I text too, and now I understand what they mean. But in that efficiency is lost the adab of being with another human being. Right? And when you call someone, you have to say, meet someone, assalamu alaikum, how are you, how is everything? And then you can ask them, what is your address? Right? You have to have that conversation. When you're texting someone, what's your address? ASA, what's your address, right? That the other of being human with another human is really lost. And it comes to the point that people start feeling uncomfortable having real human conversations about, you know, asking your neighbor how you're doing. They say, I'd rather just text them. You just feel uncomfortable talking about certain things. It's just easier to talk to your landlord about, I need X, Y, Z fix. I just text him as opposed to calling him up and I need such and such fix. You become cowardly. Right, you have to be a man. You have to be, you know, insane. You should talk to people. You should feel comfortable and confident communicating with people. And so Rasulullah, you know, it comes in narration that one of the characteristics of Rasulullah, as we know, is that he used to accept the da'wah or the invitation of people. What does that tell you? That means that people would have da'wahs. They would have parties, and he would accept it. Right? This is part of how you make a society, how you make a community, is you need to invite each other once in a while. Not all the time, right? Not necessarily every weekend, but once in a while. should invite your friends so that they come to. This is how you become close to each other. This is how you form a friendship. This is how you become have a deeper friendship. So, and the da'wah doesn't have to be like, you know, a 7-course meal with, you know, the fanciest X, Y, and Z. And no, it's just whatever you're eating at home. You know, if you have the food, you just put some more gravy and just call them over and just eat without takalluf, right? If you don't want to call them over for food, call them over for dessert. If you don't want to call them for dessert, call them over for coffee. But you know, you just meet with each other from time to time. Dawah, this is another way to have fun. You can have fun by cooking nice food or eating out, right? So the sisters, you know, many sisters, they enjoy by making a very, like, you know, fancy dish, or, you know, trying something new. Like the other day, my wife was saying, like, she made chocolate truffles, right? I was like, wow, you guys are making truffles. Or pistachio cake, or, you know, you make your own carrot cake and you're frosting from scratch and everything's organic. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. Right? You're like sitting here like out of, like, you know, microwavable pizzas, right? Organic pizzas, and they're like, mashallah, you know, and it's fun, right? It's fun making it and it's fun eating it, right? You get to have fun on both sides. This is another thing that you can do. From time to time, it's okay to joke. Rasulullah has some several examples. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. So on and so forth. There's a couple of examples. I can't say that there's a lot of examples. There are times where Rasulullah would joke with the Sahaba. But when he joked, the thing to bear in mind is that you should only speak the truth. And the other thing is that you can also play some games. And so the type of games that you come... So I guess I should mention... Okay, video games is an important topic. And it's important, but... It's a long topic, so I don't want to breach it, and it's a sort of a... So the default thing is it's not necessarily the best thing to do, right? Default thing, let's just put it, it's not necessarily the best thing to do. Under certain circumstances, for certain people, maybe there's a place for it. Let's put it that way. Obviously, with a lot of these... I mean, you should keep your kids away from these violent games. You should keep them away from a lot of... These games have a lot of haram in them, so on and so forth. A lot of them have internet access. So all of that. There are some educational games, for example. But even then, they have music, so you should have to dim out the music, so on and so forth. But rather than those games, better games are, for example, like Sudoku, right? Or Scrabble, right? That we have. I took Scrabble more than once to the kids. This is a very good game. It expands their vocabulary. It's very fun to play together. These are the type of games that you can should avoid. Chess, right? So the ulama has spoken about chess. They make qiyas on backgammon. So the ruling is not as strict as backgammon, but some give it the taqrir of makruh tahrimi. Some scholars, there is one opinion, for example, Imam Shafi said that it's permissible, but there's shurut. And other scholars have said that even according to him, even though there's jawaz for it, there's karahiyah, there's makruh. So those are things that you just want to avoid. And I mean, I used to be in chess, like way back in my childhood. I can tell you how addictive it is and how you get really, especially if you're semi-good at it, then you start developing all these dreams and you want to be in like contests and this and that. And it becomes a whole different like ball game. So those things avoid. But like things like Scrabble, you know, that's fine, inshallah. So this is just sort of recap. I gave almost like 15 categories of things. So plenty of things, you know, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wa'arudu Allahi wasi'a. The land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very vast. And then, of course, you know, playing with your family, right? This is the ultimate. So those people who aren't married, you should get married, alhamdulillah. This is one of the best things about being married. I can tell you, for a long point in my life, before I got married, I didn't have friends for all practical purposes, because just trying to stick with my kitabs. I wouldn't socialize, I wouldn't waste time hanging out. I just thought all of that was frivolous. And one of the biggest benefits I had when I got married is because you have a friend just at home. You don't have to go anywhere to have fun. That you just come home and talk, and you have someone you can talk to. And it's covered under that you're not falling into love. Right? It's very safe for your deen. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this the best entertainment is family, alhamdulillah. Right? It's the best entertainment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray that those who don't have spouses, Allah gives them spouses for entertainment. And those who have spouses, that Allah gives them righteous children, that becomes the coolness of their eyes because they're the best entertainment. Just watching them gives you khushi. You don't need to do much else, you know. And then we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people of purpose and not people of who are frivolous or useless in their lives. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us our lives full, literally full of happiness, but makes us allow us to enjoy the normal things in life and the great ni'mat that
He has given that we consider it as normal, but actually our great ni'mah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ